Get ready.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jason, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week, and we get to know our guest. It is episode 123 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is April 2nd. Happy April Fools if you did that. I didn't really. It's okay, though.
This year's April Fool's seem pretty low-key. I realize this is the intro, and I'm not supposed to talk until later, but I'm the guy who breaks the rules. I'm the edgy, cool guest. Mm-hmm, did this April Fool's seem especially low-key to you this year? Like,
it did.
I think after the whole pandemic thing, people were like, you know what? I think we've had enough chicanery. Yeah.
No jokes needed.
No jokes needed. This last year has been the joke.
Yeah. I agree. I saw a lot of people with like, I'm gay, but also I have an announcement I'm straight kind of jokes. And I was that's about all we need.
Pretty much.
We don't need anything else.
Couple fake visual novel announcements, which are always terrible. The usual stuff.
Adult Swim did something cute.
Adult Swim did something very cute.
They made all their cartoons babies. It was very, very good. Very cool.
They
very
redubbed good. Like episodes of their shows with children doing the acting.
Yeah. It's great. It's great.
Anyway, I'm going to go back into good guest mode and let you do your intro.
Okay. Back into the shadows. You'll learn who that is later. You probably already know.
I doubt it.
Listening to this. But we are going to get into the headlines first, and then we are going to introduce the guest who spoke out of line. So here we go. The upcoming Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City movie has been delayed by just 2 months. Originally, the movie was set to be released on September 3rd. While there doesn't seem to be a particular reason, the movie's original release date did seem to clash with Marvel's Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings release date, which likely points to the studio's unwillingness to go head-to-head with a Marvel Cinematic Universe film. The upcoming Resident Evil movie, which is meant to be a reboot of sorts, is set to follow the story of the more classic characters from the video game and is now set to release on November 24th, 2021. A ton of Mario-related video games are now gone from the digital and physical marketplaces. Nintendo announced some time ago that they would be putting an end to several titles sometime in the future, and that future is now on March 31st. You can no longer find Mario 3D All-Stars video game digitally or physically in stores. Likewise, the Game & Watch devices are being pulled from sale as well. And additionally, Super Mario Bros. 35, which was a Super Mario Battle Royale of sort in the same vein as Tetris 99, is no longer available. Nor is any of the 35-year anniversary merchandise or items. We do not know yet if we will ever see these games up for sale again. Perhaps next anniversary.
And I do want to add a small addendum to that. There are some people on Twitter who are saying that they are actually able to play Super Mario 35 right now. Unverified claims, but there are some people who are saying that's the case. I've seen video of it. It's not pranks. It's a real thing. As of recording this, you may still be able to play Mario 35. But
get in on your Super Mario Battle Royale, friends. Keep going. Let me know when it's dead. The EA-produced Knockout City, a dodgeball-like 3-versus-3 competitive game, is holding an open beta from Friday, April 2nd until April 4th. We got a look at the game during a reveal trailer back in February during the Nintendo Direct. The game's open beta is a cross-platform open beta across Steam, all consoles, and even the Epic Game Store. It will feature 3 modes and special dodgeballs to choose from. If you end up enjoying yourself during the beta, you can look forward to Knockout City's release, currently set for May 21st. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you have roughly 17 days, maybe less now, to take advantage of a sale on Fanatical.com, which allows you to make your own build of games for a fraction of the cost. You can build your own bundle. Fanatical is allowing bundles of 3 games for up to $9.99, 5 games for $15.99, and 7 for $19.99, and includes some great titles such as Killing Floor 2, The Division, Trine 3, Rayman Legends, Jotun, Call of Cthulhu, 9 Parchments, and more. A link to this bundle-making opportunity will be made available in the show notes for this episode. And finally, the ESA has confirmed that E3 2021 will be a free event, despite some rumors stating otherwise. The rumor seems to have initially been published by the Video Game Chronicle, who apparently had some inside sources that reported the event to have some fees for this year's content, such as on-demand demos or a premium package. In a statement written by the organization in a tweet, the ESA said, quote, E3's 2021 digital show is a free event for all attendees, and we're excited to fill you in on all the real news for the event very soon.
And as an addendum to that, Jeff Keighley also did confirm that the Summer Games Fest is also going to be free as well. Just a little extra little.
I truly appreciate the addendums, because this is still kind of a new show and we need that here at the Weekly Cooldown. So I'm not even gonna like say all the rest of the stuff, you know. Like, if you got some stuff to tweet at me, you do it, and you can also tweet at Paul, sure. Who was my guest today.
Hey, what's up? I'm Paul. This Hi. Is the part where Kami J says, "Hey, introduce yourself," but I'm just gonna do it this time because my running shtick has become me just running over Kami J's constantly That's during wonderful. His normal flow of his podcast and just breaking everything.
I kind of need the slight updates to the stories, because, like, you know, I might miss a detail.
Sure.
I might stumble over a word like I did. And, you know, it's just nice to have the extra help.
And just like Rayman Legends, I'm no longer exclusive to one platform. You can find me anywhere podcasts are released.
Wow. Anywhere.
But yeah, I'm Paul. I'm a voice actor, a good friend of Comic Jace's, fight boy now as of recently.
Fight boy.
I've become a very, very fighting fight boy.
I'm inspired by your success.
Thank you.
And your forwardness.
Richard says I'm good at video games now, so
it's like official now.
Yeah, that means
Richard
that means
said so.
Good.
See, Richard said I was bad, so I got it.
Richard doesn't want to play plus R with me though, so I gotta buy it for him.
It's the only way he'll do it. Is this
so? I guess this is usually the part where I like talk about what I've been playing this week, right?
You could do that. What have you been playing this
week? Oh god, I've been playing so much Guilty Gear, but also Gear. Before I go too far into this, I remembered what I was gonna say. I need to make up for the last time I was on this podcast, because the last time I was on this podcast,
you
I was fucking
sloshed.
I was 6 deep. It was a fucking nightmare. I went back and listened to it. I was completely incomprehensible. I can't believe you put that out.
I don't control you. I do control this podcast, but I don't control
Apparently
you.
It was a popular episode, so good for that, I guess.
Yeah. People really enjoyed Sloshed Paul.
It was a fucking disaster.
Pilsner Paul.
It was really bad. So yeah, I've been playing a stupid amount of Guilty Gear. I got into Guilty Gear not too long before the closed beta for Strive came out, so mm-hmm. I was like fucking around with it a little bit. Our friend Richard, who I mentioned earlier, told me to try out Leo White Fang, so I gave him a shot, and there was something about Leo that clicked for me that no other fighting game character really clicked for me before.
It feels good when that happens.
It kind of felt like playing the first time I played Link in Smash Ultimate, which was like the first character that I mained in Smash Ultimate, where I was mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, there's some sauce here. There's some good stuff going on here. Just like realizing how satisfying Link to play was in Ultimate, especially when like in previous Smash games, I hated Link. Like, I could not stand playing Link in mm-hmm. Melee or Brawl or any of the other Smash games. But picking him up in Ultimate suddenly was like, oh, this is a new character. This is nice. This is real nice. This is tight. This is sick. And so I picked up Leo, and I was, like, you know, messing around with his combos and stuff and, like, learning how to play the game through Leo. And I was – there was just something really satisfying about Leo that clicked for me that no other fighting game thing had clicked before. And so I've been playing – I've been lately, the two main games I've been playing, I've been playing Exard Rev 2. And I've been playing Accent Core Plus R, which is the last version of Guilty Gear 2X that came out before XR came out. And in that, I've been playing Order Soul, which is another character where you just kind of go in. And I recently, because I was like, all right, if I'm going to learn to play Soul, I need to know how to do the flashiest, most useless shit possible. So I spent a whole day just trying to figure out the timing on the Dragon Install Sakai, which is a... What was that?
And you did it.
I did it. No, I did it. It was actually really satisfying to achieve. And Soul can do some stupid damage if he's able to actually get in and do his stuff. But actually getting in is the hard part, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
What about you? What have you been playing lately, man?
Well, you know, so much like you, I've been bitten by the fighting game bug. And also much like you, Richard has lent me some words of wisdom, let's call them. And I've actually been playing a lot more of Granblue Fantasy Versus.
Ah, yeah.
And after my pep talk, which is what I'm choosing to call it, I realized that my issue with fighting games in particular is that I can get very anxious if I feel like I'm, you know, getting cornered or anything like that. So I had to revisit the feeling I had when I played Abel in Street Fighter IV, which is the character I was super comfortable with. It really got me into command grabs. But I realized that I can't command grab with every character. Like, every game that has a command grab character does not always mesh with me. So, even though I love LaDiva, I can't really play LaDiva. So I tried up some different characters, started feeling more comfortable, and I'm happy to say that I've won at least 3 online games.
Wow.
And I feel pretty good about that.
Nice.
So I am learning. I am picking up the mechanics of Granblue Versus pretty well. I also picked up Unicler, Under Night, In Birth, etc. And that's a lot of fun. I really click with that game like a ton.
Nice. Richard's been trying to get me to play all the blue fighting games. Whatever the fuck it's called. And
Granblue Fantasy Versus.
That's Granblue Fantasy Versus. And he's been trying to get me to play BlazBlue too, which, you know, Fighters. I've been having some fun with Ragnar the Blood Edge, but there's something about BlazBlue that isn't quite clicking with me the same way that Guilty Gear was.
I don't know what it is about BlazBlue either, but I've played it a few times, and it's not my favorite of the, like, Arxis produced fighting games. Just doesn't feel as good as like a Guilty Gear or Granblue Fantasy Versus or even Unicler. Unicler feels like that's my peak right now.
Yeah, I still because my thing is like I still kind of feel like I'm getting to the peak of like how I'm enjoying Guilty Gear, and I've been playing other fighting games, you know, trying to like get a feel for more like. What's going on with the other games. Like, now that I've been playing Guilty Gear more, it makes me want to go back and do some more Street Fighter now that I have a better comprehension of how fighting games work.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucked around with Tekken some too, but Tekken's, I think, very much not my thing. It feels...
Tekken
I think Tekken's a great game, but I think for me it's not a good game.
Yeah,
there's something fair. About the way the combos work, and there's something about the way the moves come out, and there's something about just everything about Tekken that just feels really unsatisfying to me. I'm sure if I sat down and labbed it out and actually, you know, got everything down, it'd be great, but there's something about the fact that, so since there's effectively no real supers in Tekken, it's all just normals, but it's just the quote-unquote specials are like normals that chain into other normals, and that's... The normals are effectively really combos. Like, it took me an hour to learn Dragon Install Sakai, and that's like effectively what every normal in or what every special in Tekken is like. So the idea of just having to learn a ton of those is intimidating to me. And maybe I'm analyzing it wrong. Maybe I'm coming at it from an incorrect direction, and I am totally willing to own that. That's maybe me misunderstanding how Tekken works, and I'm fine with that. Maybe I'll give it another shot at some point. But for now, at least, I feel like I'm not in a place where Tekken is the kind of game I want to play, but I can definitely see myself trying again at some point in the future and really getting super into Tekken. But 2D fighting games with air dashes is where the shit's at. Right?
Anime fighters.
That was funny, because I was talking with my girlfriend. I was like explaining to her what anime fighters are, and she was like, okay, well, what makes an anime fighter and what doesn't make an anime fighter? Because like Street Fighter, they kind of look like anime, but they're not anime fighters. And I realized I had kind of a hard time making a true distinction. And I remember one time I read that the main distinction between a lot of anime fighters and non-anime fighters is having an air dash. But then Granblue Fantasy doesn't have an air dash. You jump around like it's fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah, that is true.
And so I think right now I'm just... I like games where I can dash in the air. I can go in real fast.
That is fair. Yeah.
We love it. You are a mixture of like Sonic and Tails. Just like to go fast and air dash.
It's true.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to take a quick break before we get into the rest of our news stories here. So stick around and we'll be back with more show.
Have you ever been reading through a stack of comics and thought, maybe I should see what this Arkham Asylum game is all about? Or been playing Marvel vs. Capcom and felt like you were at a real disadvantage since you didn't know who half the characters were? Well, Play Comics is the show for you. I'm Chris, and each episode we take a look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. So whether you know the comics and want to know how all these games work, or you know the games and want to find out where all this craziness came from, go check out Play Comics at playcomics.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
It's time to feel the rage. Join us on Film Rage, where we talk movies, current releases, coming attractions, streaming, and classic films as well. Directors and actors, beware, as you cannot hide from the rage. My name is Bryce, and I'm part of the Film Rage crew, which also includes Jim.
Hey.
And Murray.
Yo.
Why is it you always talk all the time? I can't understand why your voice is so...
This is the Merman, the voice of reason. These two can't agree on anything most of the time. Some movies are Mondo, some are just... Every week, something is going to make us rage. Join us every Wednesday and...
Feel the rage!
Okay, keep the recording going. This is gold, he says.
Hold on, it's around here somewhere. Okay, this might not be usable. Oh no, here it is, okay. I got it.
I'm ready. I hope it's a slide whistle.
Whoa. I got Ramune!
Oh!
That was a Ramune sound!
I love those.
Clink, clink.
Oh, I'm so jelly.
There's some folly for you there.
Love it. Hey, are you back for you're back for the show? Good. Thank you for listening to the Ramune sound. and welcome back. Hey, guess what? We've got news. We've got so much news. So there's a lot going on this week. Like almost too much, but we're gonna try to get through most of it. And you'll be so much smarter for it, and you can tell your gaming buddies that you know things. So, let's get frickin' started. CD Projekt Red has recently announced that during an investor update that it will begin parallel AAA development, meaning that it will begin to work on two AAA games simultaneously. However, during this same update, CEO Adam Kaczynski, hope I'm saying that right, said that they would be backing off of the idea for a multiplayer cyberpunk video game. In addition to that, CD Projekt Red has said that it will not start showing trailers or demos until games are, quote, much closer to launch. We do not currently know what, if any, games are underway from the studio, but allegedly they are going to start working on games in 2022 with an opening of a new Canadian studio as well. So that's cool.
So is this growth or is this fear?
I think it's both.
Both,
right?
A little bit of both, right? Like,
so they are definitely growing.
They announced Cyberpunk 2077 in like 2015, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they announced it very early.
And it built up some fucking hype. And of course, in the first trailer, they said released when it's done. And then it came out this year, last year, and it wasn't done.
Yeah.
I think by most measures, you could say Cyberpunk 2077 was not a complete game when it came out.
They really needed that extra work. But, you know, I think I've said this before. There's a good amount of blame, I think, on fans, right? A lot of people got hyped up for something that they didn't even really know about, right? There was no game like this before to kind of base their expectations on. And then they got it, you know, after years of berating the developers and sending death threats even, and all the thousands of think pieces about it. And then we got what we got, and nobody liked it. so it needed that time.
It feels like CD Projekt Red kind of set themselves up for failure in hyping the game up as much as they did. Because, well, they had a lot of goodwill built up after their releases of The Witcher. Excuse me. Even though, as far as I can tell, I'm going to be honest, I haven't played The Witcher. I'm not super familiar with it. But from what I've read, The Witcher 3 was pretty rough on release, too. Apparently, it had a lot of issues that had to be patched and updated. But I think people kind of forgot about that and just sort of went, wow, The Witcher is such a great, complete, well-fleshed-out game. It's Reddit's fucking love child something. Right. Like, it's the game that if you asked anybody who posts on our games what their favorite game is, they're going to say Witcher 3 because that's what they fucking say.
Yeah.
And so CD Projekt Red had all these expectations built up, and they kind of leaned into that in a way that probably wasn't very healthy, so that when it came along and it was like, oh, well, time for the game to come out, actually, we didn't do as great of a job as we thought we were going to be able to do. Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you're right in that they kind of set themselves up for failure. We know now that the CEO and, you know, his partner kind of pushed the development team to keep getting it, you know, done. Like, keep moving, keep pushing. And to the point where when it was finally released, he said, like, yeah, we've tested it. Yeah, we've done this. Yeah, we've done that. And then lo and behold, it wasn't true. The PS4 and Xbox One versions were not good at all.
Yep.
Depending on what kind of PC you had, you may have had a great time or a terrible time. And then there were, like, in between here and there, reports about a PS5 not being good and the Xbox X/S not being good. So they wanted the fans, I guess, to be happy, but also they also have their investors now. They're that kind of company. And so they needed their investors to, you know, get a little money back on their investment. And it ended up not working out in their favor either.
I definitely remember there being a moment where I think either the developer or some fans or somebody said, like, well, hey, if you want a next-gen game, play it on a next-gen console. Like, why did you expect this game to run well on Xbox One or on PS4? And to that, I'm just like, if it's not good on those consoles, why did you release it on those consoles?
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, but it has really, like, hey, you all have phones, right?
Type vibes. It does kind of have that vibe, yeah.
Like, it makes you think that everyone should have a PS5 or an Xbox X or S, which, first of all, they're still impossible to get.
Still a fucking shortage.
And secondly, the game was announced again in like 2015, when the PS4 and the Xbox One would have been the consoles to get them on.
Right.
So it seems to me like it should have been made for those consoles first, with an upgrade to the other ones like later. So who's the real idiot here, internet gamer guy?
The answer is it's all of us for playing video games. We were played for.
You're correct. In a very related story that happened, I think, 3 weeks ago now.
Games announced too early.
The developers of Dying Light 2 have said that they announced their game too early as well.
Oh, shit.
But they denied that the game was in developer hell, like some seem to speculate. The game was pushed back from a spring 2020 release to now a 2021 release. Reports now say the game is on track to release this year. The Dying Light 2 devs did something really fun and published a video this March where they read off the worst comments about the game not being out fast enough for them. It was horrible. Of course, as you can probably imagine, laden with expletives and people telling them to hurry up and blah, blah, blah. So it's the same thing, right? It's just that these developers are like, we're not rushing for you guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Dying Light 2. Dying Light 2 isn't in development hell, but that doesn't mean that they still haven't had issues. Because, Kama Jace, you and I, we're old enough to know what development hell looks like. We remember Duke Nukem Forever. We're familiar with Dead Space, Dead Island 2.
Yes, we are.
We remember the development cycle for Final Fantasy 15. We lived through the trauma. Mm-hmm. We lived through the hell of games that spent 10 years or longer to 25 years not coming out. Duke Nukem Forever was in development for like 15 fucking years. Yeah. And there was a reason it had the joke tagline, Duke Nukem Forever not coming out. Like, that shit was... Yeah. That shit was like the eternal joke of the game dev community for so long. And then it came out and it was... mediocre, but like Dying Light 2, it's been a while, but like it got announced in like what, 2017,
something like that. Yeah,
I don't remember when exactly it got announced, but like Dying Light 2 is not even close-ish years. Yeah, Dying Light 2 is not even close to the border of development hell yet. Like, you gotta get pretty far before I think you can call something development hell. I'm gonna look up when Dying Light 2 was actually announced.
We're still waiting for, as you said, Dead Island 2.
Yeah.
Like, I keep thinking that game is out, and that's only because there are these other Dead Island spinoffs that are not Dead Island 2.
Dying Light 2 was announced in 2018. Like, that's nothing.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you waited 2 years? You can wait one more. Not even one more. You can wait a few months. It'll be out this year. You'll have it. Congratulations. We all get to play Dying Light 2.
That's a pretty normal dev cycle. And it's not even like they've been quiet about it. Like, Duke Nukem Forever, they were silent about for years before it got moved to its last studio, which I can't remember off the top of my head. I mean, Dead Island, we've heard literally nothing about it since 2017.
I think there might have been some news about Dead Island 2 last year.
Yeah.
But even then, it clearly was so scarce that I don't remember what it was.
Like, in my brain, Dead Island 2 is just canceled at this point. That's where my head's at. Like, if Dead Island 2 comes out, it's a fucking miracle.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely
not gonna
right.
be good. It's not going to be good when it comes out. It's a game that started development, like, not long after Dead Island 1 came out. And Dead Island 1 was dated when it came out.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, it was kind of in the same vein of, like, it was in the same vein as, like, Borderlands, kind of like the looter shooter craze and like the craft 'em up craze, but like 3 years after all that stuff passed.
Right. I mean, I guess you can think of it this way. Dead Island the first came out in 2011.
Yeah.
And we got a Dead Island 2 trailer for E3 during E3 in 2014.
Yeah.
So it's now been 7 years. I mean, it's had the life cycle of Cyberpunk 2077 at this point.
Yeah.
So it could be better.
Like, Dead Island 2 is getting into Duke Nukem Forever territory at this point.
Yes.
It's starting to get to that point. All that to say, man, Dying Light 2, this is nothing, man. This is fucking nothing. This is
just
baby
chill
shit.
A little.
This is baby shit. Go take a nap. When you wake up tomorrow, it'll be out.
You will get your game. If you want to talk about development hell, go look at Amazon's The Crucible, which came out and then was so bad that it went back into development.
They dev'd it for like 2 years. It launched for like a month, and then they said, you know what, actually, fuck this. And they they unlaunched it. Like,
yeah.
Final Fantasy XIV wishes it had that kind of development hell cycle.
Yeah. That game, actually, you're right, went back into unpublishment and
they fucking
is now
made it.
is now amazing. So you can wait for Dying Light 2, and you could have waited for a better Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. But instead, you got what you got.
Take a nap. Losers. Video games will happen, despite your best efforts.
Play other video games. Broaden your horizons.
Go play Dota. Go play Dota.
I don't know.
Three games of Dota, Dying Light 2.
I love that. So talk about China. That's your news for your developers. Leave them alone. Let's talk indeed about China. Because in this very bit cool, like, I think it's actually kind of cool, but it's also like, holy shit.
Speaking of cyberpunk, actually.
Yeah, right? The Chinese police, alongside the gaming and tech giant Tencent, has worked together to pull off the closure of one of the biggest video game cheat operations. The operation, known for some reason as Chicken Drumstick, had a website selling cheats to players across hundreds of countries. Chinese police seized assets worth $46 million, God including damn. Luxury cars. Apparently, roughly $76 million in revenue was made by the group, who charged subscription prices for their cheats of $10 a day to $200 a month. So that's okay. There's that news.
So first of all, I'm in the wrong business, apparently.
Yeah, like
how do I get into cheat making?
Can you gotta start. So up? Yeah, so that's the interesting thing, right? It wasn't like they were selling, like little hacks or something. They were designing their own cheats at a subscription service, and then selling those for like Overwatch and Call of Duty Mobile.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I imagine Chicken Drumstick, since Tencent was involved, my first instinct is to think that there is PUBG cheats involved. Mm-hmm. And so Chicken Drumstick sounds like a playoff of Chicken Dinner to me.
Oh.
I don't know if that's correct. That's just me spitballing. That is pure conjecture on my part. But
I like that. I like that a lot.
The involvement of Tencent alone, because Tencent are the guys who make PUBG Mobile. And I can't. Are they involved with main Blue Point's PUBG now, or...?
Well, Tencent has their hands in a lot of different companies, including they Blizzard.
True.
So I imagine that they did not like these people being in any of their games.
Yeah, I don't really have any strong feelings about this. Video game cheats are technically violation of copyright mm-hmm. now and other stuff. I mean, you can say what you want about copyright laws and about how software should be free for all or whatever, but I mean, you live in a society.
Yeah, exactly.
Sucks to suck. Don't get caught next time, idiots.
You're right. Yeah. But I think the kind of more interesting point, at least for me, is the idea of the police force in China and a tech giant kind of coming, you know, joining forces to go take down what at least in our society, in like Western society, would be like a drug operation.
Yeah, I mean, I could see something similar to that happening in the United States. Like, if somebody was operating a major, like, let's say, for example, somebody was operating something to like hack into company databases. That's obviously sure. illegal. Then I could see, like, for example, what if just hypothetically speaking, some black hat hackers work together to get into Apple's databases and try to steal a bunch of information from them. At that point, you would definitely see Apple and the FBI working together to try and take down whoever's doing this. So this doesn't really seem that much beyond the pale to me. This honestly kind of makes sense. I could definitely see Tencent, excuse me. I could definitely see Tencent having access to unique or special information that would allow capturing these people to be easier. So handing it over to the police and letting the police do their thing, it makes sense to me.
I think it really highlights, though, how much these games are worth to Tencent.
Oh, yeah.
That they would, like, track down these people and do, like, a manhunt.
I mean, Tencent's fucking massive. They're like, a multi-billion mm-hmm. dollar company. They run... They have, like you said, they have their fingers in the pies of, like, almost every major video game company at this point.
That they do.
And the ones that they don't, they're trying to get into.
Yes, as a quick reminder about that, if you've forgotten, dear listener, Tencent has their hands in about 100% of Riot Games, about 40% of Epic. They basically own Players Unknown Battlegrounds. They own about 5% of Ubisoft, and another 5% of Activision Blizzard. And those percents are likely to continue to go upwards.
And there are a lot of people that straight up don't like Tencent, and it's like for really fucked up xenophobic reasons. And there are some people that also just don't like Tencent because they've got some pretty shady ass business practices, and I respect that. But I don't know. I feel weird having a conversation about Tencent without just straight up calling out that a lot of issues that people have with that company are just straight up like hating Chinese people.
Disgusting. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. And that is not why I dislike
this message will repeat.
Yeah, you're right. But if you thought cheating didn't pay with some police knocking down some doors and taking $46 million of assets from some losers, then here's some more news about why you should not cheat, because apparently this is also true. Hackers have been hiding malware in cheating software for Call of Duty Warzone and have been trying to spread it to known cheaters. So in addition to likely getting banned by Activision Blizzard, you will also perhaps brick your machine by downloading malware that you didn't know was there. Activision Blizzard does have a report that shows the effectiveness and the methods of these hackers, but doesn't seem to say much about any action taken against them. So,
example of sucks to suck number two.
Yeah, play stupid games. I can't
believe that cheating software might be bad. Activision Blizzard's actions are pretty standard. They take action, but they don't usually tell what kind of action they're taking or how they came to their conclusions, because if they do, that gives the cheaters information on how their methodology works, and it gives them more information on how they can dodge it. So, this all sounds pretty standard.
No cheating.
Don't cheat. Seriously, don't cheat. Don't get cheat. Good. You'll get banned. Don't cheat. You might get malware. Don't cheat. Don't fucking cheat.
Not only in Call of Duty Warzone, don't cheat in these other games in which players have reported that downloading cheats have gotten some malware, some nasty surprises on their computers. Heed my warning. Do not cheat in the following games: Valorant, Fortnite, for some reason, Minecraft, and even more so, don't cheat in Roblox.
Don't fucking cheat in Roblox. It's a children's game. Come on, man. Yeah. What are you doing cheating in Roblox? Hey, Daniel. Daniel, listen, no, I'm talking to you, Daniel. Daniel, the listener of this podcast who cheats in Roblox. Listen, turn your volume up just a little bit for me, Daniel. I need to talk to you. Hey, don't fucking cheat in Roblox, Daniel. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. It's children. You can be children, Jimothy, and Daniel.
I need you to listen.
Come on.
Don't cheat in Roblox.
Come on.
Don't do it.
Roblox?
Roblox?
Roblox.
Riblox.
Don't cheat in Tetris, man.
Don't cheat in Tetris. Don't do it. We have one last bit of news. Just one.
There's more?
Just a quick one. Yeah. God, can you believe
it? The news needs to stop.
No more news. Oh no, I'm out of business. I was never in business. Let's see here. We're probably not going to spend a whole lot of time on this one because it's like, you know where we are on this. This
one's pretty obvious.
You know where we are on this, but it needs to be reported anyway, I think. So here we go. The man known as Mike Pompeo's attack dog, Brian Bulatow, has apparently joined Activision Blizzard as its chief administrative officer. CEO Bobby Kotick describes Brian Bulatow as a rare talent and perfect fit for Activision Blizzard, stating that his business, military, and government experience makes him suited for the team. This comes after Activision Blizzard also hired just a few weeks ago Francis F. Townsend, a Bush-era counterterrorism advisor, as its chief compliance officer.
Activision is just doing everything they can to just burn through as much goodwill as humanly possible. It's honestly impressive. The past couple of years have just been a complete shit show at Activision Blizzard. Like, between all the shit with Blitzchung and Hearthstone a couple years ago, to, like, all the stuff with them openly mocking people for not being happy about Diablo Immortal. God, it's just, it's been a fucking nightmare for Active Blizzard. And yeah. I think they have a feeling that they're just immortal. I think they can just keep doing shit and it's not gonna matter.
At this point, I don't know if I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's got to be a point, right?
What is the breaking point? I must know what it is.
Like they recently made it so that you can't buy 1 month subscriptions in WoW anymore. You have to do 2 months at a time.
I'm pretty sure they recently laid off a bunch of people.
Yeah, they laid off more fucking esports people.
It's like cool, I guess.
They run the esports communities into the ground, and then they say, "Well, this isn't working," and they fire the people that are.
It's messy. It is messy over at Acta Blizzard.
You don't get a rant from me on this. This is just, I'm just sad.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I guess it is what it is. Like I said, you know where we probably stand on this. Bush era counterterrorism advisor and Mike Pompeo's attack dog work at Activision Blizzard. And that's all you need to know about that, I guess.
Let's get into the romanticism. Let's go into the romantification of the Bush era war on terrorism. That'll be a good topic for your fun friendly gaming podcast, right?
Well, if you mean how Francis F. Townsend was a defender of the CIA's use of torture, then that's exactly pretty romantic. Pretty hot.
Ooh, you ended this on a downer, man.
You know what? I felt like it was the...
You know what? We're not doing this. I'm finding a happy fucking game story right now to end this on.
Let's do it.
Let's see.
Happy story.
All right. Nintendo's leaving their games behind. Phil Spencer works at Xbox. Gavin Moore's leaving SIE. That's sad.
Microsoft might buy Discord still. Still sad.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
Damn it. What are we going to do?
Fuck.
People.
PUBG Lite is shutting down April 29th. Fuck. Oh, God.
I got one. I think I have one.
Yeah. Wait.
People hacked, or not hacked, they cracked the DRM for Crash 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Crash 4 crack. Okay. Yeah, fuck. Yes. And it even goes, it's a fucking fuck Acta Blizzard too while we're at it.
Yep.
Hell it is. Okay. Crash Bandicoot, here's the story. Crash Bandicoot 4 is always online DRM on PC. In order to play it on PC, you have to be logged into the internet or else you can't play it. One day after the game came out, hackers fucking cracked it. You can play it offline. The crack only modifies the online only requirement. It doesn't modify anything else about the game. Took them one day and it slapped shit. That's some good fucking news. Fuck Acta Blizzard.
Yep. There you go. We did it. We ended on a great note.
Hell yeah.
Wonderful.
So anyway, excellent. I started playing Hearthstone again a couple days ago.
Oh my god. But let's be clear though. You're not playing the Acta Blizzard version. You're playing the old school.
Oh yeah, and I'm playing fucking classic, man.
Classic.
It's like fucking 2014 all over again. Classic Hearthstone slap shit. Hey,
yes.
Fuck Acta Blizzard. Go play Hearthstone.
But go play their game. All right. Well, that's the news for the week. We ended on a pretty decent note, I think. We found some good news waiting in the waters, as they say. So as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask you to give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Okay, well, if you want to die instantly, play Balan Wonderworld. Otherwise, if you want to play a game that you're going to have fun with, I mean, okay. I talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. I'm going to come back around to it. I've been playing Guilty Gear a lot. Play fucking Guilty Gear. Guilty Gear's got a really good tutorial. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to level with you once again, Franklin. Guilty Gear is a complex game. It's a pretty fucking complex game. It's a fighting game. Fighting games are complex. They're hard to get into. But Guilty Gear Xrd has a really good tutorial. It breaks down everything. It's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. It shows you exactly what you need to do. And
I would just try and find another friends, maybe somebody who's good at Guilty Gear, maybe somebody who's not super good. Try and get a few friends together. Just keep playing it together on a regular basis. So you can all get better at the same time. You're all around the same level and you can all help each other improve. That's what I've been doing. I've been playing with Kami Jace. I've been playing with my roommate Marcy. Mm-hmm. I've been playing with my friend Richard, Corey, Day, a couple other people. And all these people together, we've been slowly getting better and better at fighting games. And it's been really good for me. So here's what I suggest. Get Guilty Gear Xrd, or if you're willing to wait until June, whenever Sign comes out, Strive comes out. Let me double check that. Guilty Gear Strive comes out in June. Whenever Guilty Gear Strive comes out in June, pick that game up. It's probably gonna have an amazing tutorial too. Guilty Gear Strive is supposed to be really beginner friendly, which I have feelings about, but as a new player, you will have a good time with it. Get into fighting games. Go watch Wooly. Go watch Wooly's Get Into Fighting Games series.
Watch the Purple Sharpie.
Maximilian Dude. She
plays Skullgirls. Black Yoshi plays a bunch of other games, but is also well known for fighting game community stuff.
Go watch Gina, Anime Illuminati, Say Jam, those guys. All right,
watch
I'm
some
done.
Of Richard's weird tutorial videos too.
I'm done.
Alrighty. I don't know what to recommend this time, but I think I too will just say, come play some fighting games with me, your friend Kami Jace. I'm currently switching slightly away from Guilty Gear, Xrd Revelator, but I play Kum Hae Hyun on Guilty Gear Xrd.
Big Street Fighter boy.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm playing the Girl with the Whip on Granblue Fantasy Versus, whose name I cannot remember for some reason, and I truly have fallen in love with her, but I am so bad with everyone's name on that game. I thought Zoe was Zeta for like a year. It's just real confusing. But I know how to play her pretty well, so come get beat up by me, maybe. What else do we have to do? Oh, finish off this episode, put a dagger in the heart, let us know where you can be found on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug.
Yeah, so as always, you can find me at Paul's Rockin' Twit. There is no G at the end of rocking, just Paul's Rockin' Twit. As always, you can find me at twitch.tv/Bonzi77, where I haven't been streaming a lot, but I've been streaming a little bit more than I have been and a little bit less than I used to be. And of course, no, honestly, that's actually pretty much it. I'm also part of a YouTube channel called Voxus, where we've been making a video series called Let's Read Homestuck for way too long, and we will never stop until we do stop, at which point we will be completed, and we will all become whole. I've been Paul Henderson. Thank you for listening to me talk about this in the pre-ramble before the end of the podcast.
Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. As always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter. You can find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter as well at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to check out the new podcast coming out very soon. The Greatest Gaming Game Show Ever. Sorry, almost messed that up.
Oh, hey,
the
I've heard about that one.
Game Show Ever. Have you?
Yeah.
Heard good things about it. It's gonna knock your socks off, guaranteed.
Can't wait.
You can follow The Greatest Gaming Game Show Ever on Twitter at GG Game Show. That's right. I got GG Game Show. Be sure to leave a review on, oh, I said that already, but you know what? It's worth repeating. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to check out the links in the description below, including our Humble Bundle for this week, and support your favorite charities and support the show, of course. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at DoghouseCorgian on Twitter. That's Doghouse Corgian. Our intro music is done by Riki. You can follow Riki on Twitter at DogNoise. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Paul. Dog Noise is spelled dog_noise Henderson.
That is true. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone. Later.